Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website rickackerman.com. Where are you talking to us from today?
Sunny Florida.
Ah.
I'm in a little too sunny, you know. I've lived in places where they have a genuine autumn, Boulder, Colorado being one of them. And I'm just not used to the idea that when October rolls around, it's still 90 degrees and humid enough so that the discomfort index says feels like 103.
Rick, how would you describe what's happening in the stock markets right now?
It's pretty terrible. I mean, the market right now is under very heavy distribution, and even the very talented sleazeballs that manipulate the lunatic stocks, I'm talking about Google, Amazon, Facebook, Chipotle, they're very challenged to distribute stock to the rubes because the markets have been so weak. So Microsoft had a relatively good day, a day when stocks weren't getting crushed, to achieve an amazing distribution. You know, they gapped the stock higher overnight and squeeze it in the morning so that that the thieves can disgorge a great deal of stock. But today, Facebook stock is really struggling because, you know, they announced 2 days ago news after the close that was into a kind of weak market that day. So the fake-out obligatory short squeeze only lasted literally for minutes, and then the dirt balls were faced with the option of taking the stock down far enough to exhaust sellers so that they could run it up again, which is what they're doing today. But again, challenge, because you can see there's no strength at all. The market is very weak, and I'm trying to get short of myself, and realizing that none of the rallies are getting up to some nice price where I'd like to get short. You have to settle for less to lay them out here.
Facebook earnings, were they real?
I don't even look at the earnings.
Yeah.
I know because someone in my chat room will say, well, you know, Facebook earnings will be out on such and such a day. But to me, earnings are irrelevant. You know, they're a distraction that can only hurt you, because if you were to know the earnings in advance and you were to see that Facebook is going to beat its last quarter by, you know, 7 cents a share or whatever, you'd be tempted to buy it, but the earnings are irrelevant. You know, it's the market cycles, and we're in for the last several quarters we've been in a cycle where it didn't matter whether earnings were good, bad, or indifferent. The stocks were going to get squeezed higher. So that's the way it goes. And we're in a last-ditch distribution here because I think this market's really ready to tank.
What are the indicators of that for you?
Well, you get on the lesser charts and you see that nothing is able to make higher highs and higher lows. Everything is in the descending pattern, and you know what happens in instances of small time frames is really indicative of what's happening in the larger time frame. So in other words, the charts are fractal, and if you see corrective patterns that exceed their targets, that means that the dominant, or what the formerly dominant, uptrend is losing strength. So that's where we are.
Are people giving up on the stock market and turning to other instruments that, say, just pay interest?
Well, they'd have to be retarded, really, to pass up 5% on the, you know, in two-year treasuries. So, but let's just say the institutional mindset is still, it's changed. I mean, those guys are never going to be outright sellers. And as I've been saying for a long time, when you think of a bear market, like with the Dow down below 10,000, it's not because the institutional holders have changed their tune. They're always going to be bullish on stocks ever, forever, but they're going to be forced by redemptions to sell. So they'll only turn seller because they're getting redeemed to death, and that hasn't occurred yet. You know, the public is sort of, the private investors are just sort of edging toward the fire escape here, and what has been a relative trickle into treasuries up to this point is going to become a torrent. So so no, the panic has not yet come, but we do have, let's say, I hate to refer to the public as somehow being savvy, but there's a kind of sane movement toward the relatively low risk of treasuries out of stocks.
The government claims the economy grew 4.9% in the third quarter. Are they fudging numbers here?
Ha, ha, ha. You know, just walk around your neighborhood, talk to your friends. You know, are they growing their businesses at 4%? Or are they sweating bullets, really, and working harder than ever just to, you know, to make some money? I don't, you know, 4%, that's a fiction.
4.9, almost 5%. Inflation numbers, too, do they fudge those? I remember when the price of meat was based on steak, and now it's the cheapest ground-up piece of crap you wouldn't feed to your dog is what they put in the basket. So the manipulation there, what kind of picture are they trying to give us, and what's the actual photograph on the ground going to look like, or does look like?
Well, you can't fool people on CPI because it's really the stuff that they buy every day. And there's no question when you go into a grocery store, you're feeling inflation. But the inflation we're having, sort of a last-ditch, last-gasp consumer inflation, what I call lettuce bin inflation, is nothing. It's not even a drop in the bucket compared to the deflationary juggernaut that's warming up in our globally financialized economy. You know, I put this number out 100 times over the years as it's grown, but the whole world only produces 200 trillion plus of actual goods and services every year, and of course that's including a lot of services that you and I wouldn't even think of as service. So it's even 200 trillion would overstate what's actually produced. But the financial economy, the financialized economy, where, you know, all the big money is made by shuffling paper, is at least 10 times that size. And because interest rates are rising right now, all of the action, $2 quadrillion worth, essentially has to be rolled, refinanced at a much higher rate of interest. So that is a deflationary juggernaut that's of a size that really beggars whatever we're experiencing in CPI, and it will start affecting. You know, you're going to see it take its toll on the central banks. It's doing that right now. You know, much as Europe would like to loosen, Powell has stuck to a strong dollar, and so much so that it's really, you almost have to look beyond the effects in the credit market and consumer borrowing. You need to look at the government and how it will view unlimited borrowing, you know, deficit spending till your head caves in. And what Powell is doing will, I use this in a very positive sense, it will undermine the ability of the government to keep up with deficit spending. So what Powell's doing is going to force fiscal restraint on all of, on the U.S. government, and it's happening all over the world. So again, that's a hugely deflationary force, but it's also a way of seeing, and the things that, the Fed is doing is paving the way for, let's say, a more stable, less credit and leveraging based economy. So, and it took me, this insight was not mine really. It took me it took a lot of arguing and good logic from Tom Luongo to get me sort of turned around on Powell. The idea that Powell might know what he's doing, mm-hmm. and what he's doing having a benefit to the U.S. and global economy, that was something that had never occurred to me before.
An interview I've just did with Wolf Richter for This Week in Money that'll be released on Saturday. He says U.S. consumers, especially boomers, are spending money right now because they're making money on their savings accounts and they're spending that cash. That sounds like, is that a responsible way to be a consumer? Make a little money and spend some of it?
No.
No?
No, because when they look at the macro account, they should understand that, that the system is bankrupt and therefore their net worth is a lot less than it seems. You know, you have to subtract from the net worth healthcare costs and other things that the government's not going to be able to pay for as generously as they have been up till now. You know, I just got my the word on my cost of living increase in Social Security, and all I can think of is who the hell is paying for it. You know, so that's not going to last. And you know, when you deflate the big picture, even it's hard to think of yourself as getting richer on savings. You know, the value of savings is being increase in saving is being offset by the imputed deflation that's yet to occur. So I don't know. I've never been able to comprehend an economy that's 65% consumer spending, but it just doesn't seem to be the ticket to growth as far as I can see.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, what's the story with crude?
Well, again, I have to defer to Tom Luongo on that. Crude, as we all know, is the most heavily manipulated commodity in the history of the Milky Way galaxy. You know, every single uptick, every downtick is manipulated. It's just, you wonder, really, in that context, how oil could have been manipulated down from mid to upper 90s into the 80s. You know, the December COMEX is currently trading around $84 off a low just earlier this week of $82. So how does crude fall to 82 when you've got a couple carrier strike groups out there in the Mediterranean and the around the Suez? And the answer is that the powers that be have suppressed crude prices lest anyone get the crazy idea that maybe a global war could break out impacting crude supplies. And so we're seeing crude look relatively docile, and that does have that the effect of people thinking, well, geez, I guess, you know, the threat of war must be exaggerated in the press right now, because if there really were that threat, wouldn't oil be perking up? Well, oil will perk up. My target is $117 a barrel, and I can't predict exactly what headline is going to get us there or what series of headlines, but the softness in crude prices is really just the calm before the storm.
What's happening with gold?
you got to love it. And gold, if anything, is nearly as heavily manipulated as crude, it's gold. You know, here we've got gold. It's definitely in a bull market, and anybody who looks at the chart can see the upward trajectory. It can't lie. But there are a lot of days when you'll have your doubts. You know, gold seems to be weak, soft, lower, and you wonder, well, what's going on? But it's intended that you doubt yourself by the manipulators of gold's price, which in this case is partly the sovereign buyers. You know, there's not a sovereign entity on the planet that's not trying to accumulate gold hand over fist. And we're talking about everything from the Central Bank of Somalia and countries you haven't even heard of. They're all trying to buy gold. And I guess you would call them the smart money. They're doing it kind of quietly, and they all, the bids sort of drop out of sight now and then to cause gold to swoon. But the swoons are becoming more transitory, which is to say fleeting, and they're less convincing. It's at this point, even Joe Sixpack is buying the dips in gold, and you have to. My absolute minimum, and this is before the fireworks start, target for COMEX, this would be December, is 2068. Gold is currently trading at 1990, so we've got a little room to run on that. And, of course, when it gets there, we're going to be looking at 2000 finally as pretty good support for gold. And so, you know, the central banks are going to have a little more competition as to, you know, there are going to be more people out there interested in buying gold, and that's when it's really going to take off. And of course, we're nowhere near, we haven't even gotten to the remotely close to the speculative phase where even some of the gold stocks take off. And there's so many exploration companies and junior miners and mining companies that are sitting on vast quantities of undervalued gold, that the mania in gold stocks is going to be quite an experience.
It's been quite some time before we had gold share mania or junior miner mania. People have been waiting several years. Again, China's been snapping up all the gold it can, I guess, for about the last 10 years. How much of an effect does that have on those markets?
Well, it's just slowly absorbed supply. But in a kind of sly way, you know, the buyers, the smart money, they don't want to see the price of gold run away. So the buying has been somewhat judicious, but it's been helped really by the huge supply of paper gold out there. And, you know, that's all going to change, too, because when we have the central banks finally get their house in order, starting with the European Central Bank, which is back up against the wall right now, you know, with it's impossible for them to stay in step with this tightening idea that has gripped Powell for so long. So the ECB can't really do much tightening, but they can't do much loosening either. Otherwise, the euro is going to fall apart even worse. So you know, when the central banks finally get their house in order, they're going to need some sort of peg to gold. And we'll see changes in the markets. You know, the futures markets, for one, are not going to make it, or they will no longer enable huge buyers of gold contracts to take delivery in places outside the U.S. So gold, there are just a lot of good things lie in store for gold, including a link to a new money system. And it's not going to be a brick money system, and it's not going to be a super hard currency, because nobody could afford to buy things like crude oil if it's pegged in explicitly to gold. But we are headed toward a gold peg.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Yeah, just whatever you've got your eye on, don't believe what you're seeing, because there's just a lot of subterfuge in the markets right now, and ahead of some extraordinary event that's going to change the tune in everything, all the big players are just trying to regroup. They're trying to minimize the damage from the change that's about to happen. And in the case of the stock market, it means heavy distribution. Case of bullion, it means heavy accumulation. So just whatever's happening, you can bet on the opposite outcome.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Jim. I appreciate your inviting me on.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.